Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have Shamara McCall from the Division of Blind Services, the Florida Division of Blind Services. How are you, Shamara?
I'm good. Hi, everybody. I'm glad you're here.
You made it. We're both here.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's been a journey to get here today.
It really has. It really has. It's amazing what technology, you know, we can either live with it or live without it. And sometimes it's better to live without it.
That's how I was feeling. I've been feeling like that a couple weeks now. It's just like everything wants to go wrong, especially in the moment that you need it.
Right. I'm thinking there were like special technology gremlins coming onto Earth and messing things up. But
I feel exactly the same. I agree.
Well, we're here now. And I just want to talk to you, first of all, about your blindness journey, about your life. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I won't disclose my age now, but I was diagnosed
24.
Yes. Well, you know, I usually go for 27, but you know, 24 sounds a good round number. So we'll go with 24. I was diagnosed with what they called then juvenile diabetes at the age of 7, and it was type 1. So that means from the very beginning, injections with insulin. So strict diet, you know, exercise routines, checking blood sugars all day, so on and so forth. And so from a very, very early age, it was a lot of routine, and growing up was extremely hard because you could have a cold and that could throw your blood sugars way off, and a lot of hospital visits and so on and so forth, but we made it.
Wow, you had a lot of adult things to do growing up.
Exactly, you know, and you know how high school is. It's just so dramatic, and everything is so important, and my world is going to end if I don't go to this dance, or if I don't have these sneakers, or, you know, so on and so forth.
Sure.
Everything's just all about you in that moment. So, you know, I graduated high school and went on to college. I had two different insulin pumps throughout my life, and that helped. However, when I got a little older, it started with my vision. I remember I was driving home from work one evening, and it was nighttime, but even with the streetlights, I was having a hard time seeing the other cars parked on the side of the roads, and I had to start driving different routes to make sure, you know, I was safe. So I went to my eye doctor, and if in my left eye, if I looked forward, there was like this little square at the top that was just kind of missing. There was nothing there. I couldn't explain it. So I went to my eye doctor, and he immediately sent me to the retina specialist about 2 hours away from home. In my right eye, he did laser surgery because of the diabetes being so out of control for so many years. It had started to grow blood vessels that basically push up against your retina and detach it. So he tried to stop the vessels from protruding through the retina, but at that point it was just too far gone. So I had very little vision in the right eye at that point, and then I had still had full vision in the left. But that is the eye they told me was the worst, so we left that one alone. Then in 2011, my kidneys started to fail.
Oh, no.
I want to say it was February 2011. Yeah. I started dialysis. And at that point, the sugar pretty much, the diabetes pretty much just took the rest of the kidneys and a big chunk of my vision. Oh. So then we started preparing for a transplant. And then in that time I had moved to Florida. My mother's here. I needed the backup more than anything. So went through the process, got everything aligned, and I got approved for not only the kidney, but the pancreas, which would take away the diabetes. So,
oh wow.
I started in January on the paperwork. I got put on the UNOS list in August, and they called me in October to come get my organs at a Tampa General Hospital. So I went.
That must have been an exciting call.
Oh man, I was in the shower. I was in the shower. My mom's like, Tampa General's calling you. They're going to call back in 10 minutes. And I'm like, that's the call. I know that is the call. So one leg shaved, I jump out the shower and I wait for them to call back, and they let me know the organs are here. Can you get here in an hour? Of course I can get there in an hour. So we went to Tampa General, and you know, the next day they performed the transplant. But in the midst of all of this, my vision had slowly started to decrease. My eye doctor, my retina specialist, attempted to reattach my retina in the right eye, but it wasn't successful. So I'm totally blind in the right eye now. And there's oil in the eye holding the eye so it doesn't collapse. It's really weird. I've never had a shot in the eye before. And of course, you know, my brother's there and he's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm like, this is not amazing.
It's only amazing because it's not you.
Exactly. But he's like, that is so cool. I was like, you're really, really lucky that I love you. But you know, my brother, what can I say though? He's always been there. So I give him anything he wants. If you want to watch me get a needle in the eye, why not?
Ouch, ouch, ouch. I had to do that once, and mm-hmm. It was like, ow, it was a lady I had to take to the hospital, and yeah, she had a needle in her eye for, she had glaucoma, mm-hmm. and had to put a needle in it. What does that feel like?
Well, the thing is they numb you up and they have this little contraption that holds your eye open, and they're like, okay, look up. And of course it's like, it didn't hurt cause I was numbed, but you can hear the needle.
Oh,
and it's like, boop, and you're like, ooh, you know, it didn't hurt, but it's just the very thought. There's a syringe going, there's a needle going in my eye right now. This is really freaking me out.
I can't imagine, my stomach is just like, and I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, it makes you cringe.
Yeah.
So yeah, after the transplant, I was in the hospital. I didn't do very well through that. So it was like 8 weeks. And so we got everything taken care of. I started, you know, getting better. But in that meantime, I didn't notice, because I've been in the hospital, how bad my vision really is. So it was like, I had to prioritize. I can live without vision. I cannot live without a kidney. So it's time to take care of the vision. So I started with, the Division of Blind Services. With the Lighthouse of Pinellas. And I did an independent living class, and then I did the orientation and mobility, trying to get used to working with, you know, a cane.
Sure.
We later moved to Pasco County, which I did Lighthouse there too. I was trying to get the AT portion down. And any of my JAWS users know how hard it is to learn JAWS, you know, going to Lighthouse once or twice a week just does not cut it. It's a great program. I'm very happy that I had the opportunity to learn it, but it is very difficult at the same time. So
right.
I then was recommended to come to the Rehabilitation Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Daytona Beach. So I came here in the April of 2016 as a student. Uh-huh. And I took their ILS program, the Independent Learning program. That here, because I say here because I work here now, but
right.
Here at the center, you do these classes, you do mobility and home and personal management and Braille and AT devices. You do it every day, Monday through Friday. So you are literally engulfed in the classes. You don't have, you know, you are surrounded by it every day, and you have to get, you know, to get to know what you're supposed to be doing. Like I was fully sighted at one point, So I had to go from one extreme to another.
Sure. What was going through your mind? Like, were you getting depressed, or what was going on? What was happening?
Now, at home, I was depressed because I'm the social butterfly. I like people. I like helping. I like going out and having fun. So, you know, sitting at home was very, very depressing for me. I was, my life is over. I'm never going to work again. I'm never going to date again. Never. I mean, you know, the pity right. party for one. And so when they recommended coming here to the rehab center, I was so excited. I was like, there's going to be people who are going through the same thing I'm going through. I'm going to learn so much. I'm going to get my life back. Like, this is the first step. So I was so excited to, you know, not be stuck in the house and get out and learn the skills that I needed to, what I say, continue my whole life.
Right, right.
And it was a blast when I got here. We had so much fun. You never feel alone here. And that's what I love. The staff were excellent. They help and any and everybody and anything you need, whether, you know, you've lost something or you're not sure how to use the washer and dryer, if you get lost on campus. And they make you feel so comfortable. Like, there's no dumb questions whatsoever. So
no judgment.
No judgment. And you get here and it's just like you're embraced by everything, which led to another program. I did the pre-employment program next. Because I was like, I have to get back in school. I have to go to work. I have to do these things. And so I did that program and I graduated from that one and I start putting the applications and things out. But before I left, they came and was like, hey, we have this position opening. So of course I jumped on it. I was like, I could stay here forever. It's like Disney.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you love Disney, you know that sort
of
thing.
Yeah. No, I do. Well, Florida Division of Blind Services, that's what this program is through, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They actually, the Rehab Center is a part of the Division of Blind Services. Director Doyle is our big, big boss, as well as, you know, the district offices. Those are the offices that help with the everyday things. If you want to go to Lighthouse or your local CRP, if you need transportation, if you need resources, those are your field counselors. We are a vocational rehabilitation. So you come here to learn how to live independently at home and you learn your AT skills, like, you know, computers, your Microsoft, your Macs, the devices that we all use in everyday life, whether it be like a Victor Trek or you know, the Pearl right. camera, anything that you need, we teach that to our clients and we teach independence and how to do, you know, resumes and your rights as a disabled person.
Important.
Very important for whether you're going to college or school or a trade school or you're going back into the workforce. It's so important that you know these things because, unfortunately, not everybody is so caring and nice to look out for you. So you always have to be prepared. And like that commercial, knowledge is power. Yeah, that's exactly right.
What was the thing that you learned that like you were like really surprised to learn, especially when it had to do with rights?
What I learned that was most surprising is I'll have to give an example, which is going back to college. You have your wonderful professors who will move heaven and earth to get you through this class successfully and get you to learn the material. And then you have the professors who are kind of just like, I'm just here and I'm not really going to be accommodating.
They're not going to give anything extra.
Exactly. And it's not like I'm asking for a free ride. I work just as hard as anybody else. However, everybody knows you have to ask for help at some point, but you have to advocate for yourself strongly sometimes. So that was, I think, my most like eye-opening moment where I'm just like, how are you so callous? Like, I'm not asking for special treatment, but I do need some help in this. And it very much helps you thicken your skin because you do have to have a tough skin. A lot of times, a lot of people have no idea how to, I'll say, handle visually impaired people.
Right.
They're unsure about us or they don't know anybody else who is visually impaired. So they're scared of us sometimes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've noticed that. Well, yeah. You know what? It's like they're scared of saying or doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. And I tell our students who come through, I was like, this is the thing. And it may not be right. However, sometimes you have to make people comfortable with you. And no, it shouldn't be your job. But sometimes
it's all of our jobs, you know, exactly. Even if you have sight or no sight, mm-hmm. You know, it just on a personal level, you have to make people feel comfortable with you. You can't like just be
expect them to be a warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm one of the friendliest people on earth. And there's been plenty of times, you know, people come up and be like, excuse me, but may I ask you some questions? I have no problem. I carry business cards for the Division of Blind Services, because someone always knows somebody or their husband or wife's going through this. And I have no problem, you know, answering questions, because everybody doesn't always know where to begin.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? It's an interesting thing. The other day I got a message from an old friend of mine, and she said that she had a friend who had gone blind from a stroke. And mm-hmm. And she goes, well, what do you think she'd like to do? Now, this is all I knew about the friend. All I knew was that she was blind. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I don't know her, but I'm certain that she probably likes the same thing she used to like before she was blind. You
exactly.
Know? You know, all of a sudden, whoa, turn into another person. And all blind people aren't alike. It's like,
no, we are not.
Even the amount of vision you have isn't the same.
Agreed. 100%. And I understand that 100% too, because, you know, like we have this tandem bike here. I love this bike because before, you know, losing vision, I would love to ride a bike, but it's one of those things. I can't drive the bike anymore. Like I will run into a tree. However, I have great people that are like, you know what? Let's go. I'll ride you around the center. Let's do it. And I'm like, yes. So, the more comfortable people are and understanding, and like you said, both ways, whether they're sighted or visually impaired, totally blind, whatever it might be, it's just a little bit of communication. And sometimes people are afraid to ask, or they already have preconceived notions that you're just going to be like, snap at them or something crazy. It's like, I really am nice. I promise.
Well, you know what? I think that I've had people ask me, well, do you think they'd mind if I asked about their blindness? I go, you know what? I've been doing this 20 years. I have not met a single blind person that went, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about this.
I have two really great best friends. They are just always behind me. Like, have you ever went to say a grocery store or a doctor's appointment? And you're standing right there, but the nurse or whoever will start talking to the person with the vision. Like you, I'm like, I can hear you.
Right. That happened all the time. Yeah. Most definitely.
And my friends are so great. They'll just sit there and not say anything. So then the nurse or, you know, whoever's talking, they're like, what's going on? I'm like, then I'll start talking. Like, cause you're asking about me. Why are you asking them? And they know that. And so people are always kind of frazzled. And I'm just like, I think it's funny. But I'm a jokester anyway, so.
I think, I know. It's funny to be a trickster sometimes when mm-hmm. people get like that. They mm-hmm. get a little, I don't know. That's happened to me. I've taken people grocery shopping who were totally blind, and they start talking to me. Oh, well, what would she like? I don't know. I don't have mm-hmm. ESP, you know.
Yeah.
ESPN on cable, mm-hmm. but.
Can she sign herself? I'm like. Well, if it was me and I was the side one, I'd be like, why don't you ask her? She's right there.
That's what I did. I remember.
I love it.
Yeah. In the store, they were asking me what kind of apples she liked. I don't know. Ask her. She can't see you, but she can hear you.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And that's a part of what we teach in advocacy. So, yeah.
Yeah. You just speak up.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, I've never taken it personal. I don't mind at all.
Most of it's done out of like trying not to hurt someone. That's really the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, when they don't want to ask or they don't want to say something, they don't want to offend you or hurt you. And, you know, that's your life. And you really, I remember it was with someone and they go, I know I'm blind.
Yep. I wake up in this body every day. I know I'm blind.
I'm well aware of my blindness. Yeah. Shamara, tell us a little bit. I took poetic license with your recipe and I called it the fabulous four cheese lasagna. So tell us about your recipe.
Okay. I love this recipe. I actually learned it when I was in high school, had the best home ec teacher ever. And I just really realized it again after losing vision, because the best thing that I really, really love about this recipe is you really don't have to measure unless you're just a stickler for measuring.
Right.
It is four cheese, which means we're using cottage cheese, ricotta, Parmesan, and mozzarella. And when I say you don't have to measure, the thing is, if you can get the bag sizes, you don't have to measure. You just pour the bag in, or you pour the container in. However, say you don't have that size when you go to the grocery store, you have to get something bigger or smaller, then we're going to measure. But for most purposes, you don't have to measure. It's great. And it is a multi-step recipe. However, once you've done it once, you're like, this is so easy. And I look like I studied at culinary school. Because it's so good. And it's just so easy. And you use things the grid technique to coat the different noodles so that you can spread the sauces and things around the pan.
What is it called again?
Oh, it's called the grid technique.
The grid technique. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You use it for cleaning as well. If you have a counter surface, you will wipe from the left side, you'll go up and down, you gradually move to the right. And then when you're done, you go to the top of that surface and you go from the left to the right and you come down. So basically you're doing the same thing with your utensil, that you're spreading out the cheese and you're spreading out the sauce. And lasagna noodles, of course, they're easy just to lay because you just lay them in a row. Like I said, it's so simple, but you look like you are just the best chef in the world. And, you know, you throw some garlic bread in with it. Yeah. Oh, it's a great meal, and it feeds if you're like me and you want two pieces, but originally it gives about 8 to 10 servings depending on how you cut it.
Yes. Yes. Well, are you able to go through the recipe with us now?
For the recipe, I won't do a lot of the ingredients. I'm just going to talk them through as we do the recipe.
Okay, that's fine. And everyone can find this recipe on our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. So if they don't catch it here, they'll catch it there.
Okay. So to start this recipe, you'll take a mixing bowl. And you will put in your cottage cheese, your ricotta cheese, your Parmesan, and your mozzarella, and you will stir that up until it's mixed thoroughly, and you'll place it back into the refrigerator to keep the cheese cold. Nobody likes warm cheese. And so then you'll take a saucepan, and you will put in water, and depending on how much lasagna you want, it will depend on how much you want for the lasagna noodles, with a little bit of, I like extra olive, extra virgin olive oil, so that they don't stick together. Sure. And you can replace that for the noodles that are ready cooked. Like, you don't even have to put them in the water. You can just put them right in when you're ready. Then in a pan, a saucepan, you will put in your hamburger meat. You'll put in your mild Italian sausage, and you're going to break that up with your utensil. Usually I like a wooden spoon. Then you will cook that down. It's about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how hot your stove gets. And so while that's cooking down, you'll preheat your oven to 375. Now I have oven gloves. And if you guys know what that is, it's the gloves that you can hold pans and things, and it has the grips on both sides, so you won't drop anything, but you also won't burn your hand.
Yes. Yes.
And so you drain your meat and you put it back on the heat, and you will add minced garlic, garlic powder, cracked pepper, onions, and you'll let that cook down some more. And then you will add in your spaghetti sauce. Now I cheat because I like Prego. That is my favorite one. You can make it, you know, with tomato sauce and tomato paste, and you can sit and cook your own sauce. But like I said, I like to cheat. And then with the seasonings and things I add, it kind of spruces it up anyway. So at this point, your noodles should be finished. And so you will have a lasagna pan. So when you will drain your noodles, if that's the route you decide to go, you bring your saucepan of your cooked spaghetti sauce and all the ingredients with, you know, the hamburger and the sausage and all of that. And you put them all together, like in a line in front of you. And however, whatever way you do it is really up to you, because you can do this a couple separate ways. But me personally, I put the sauce, the cheese, and then the noodles. And so you put your lasagna pan out front, and you'll do usually three or four lasagna noodles in a row. And then what you'll do is you'll take a big spoon and you'll first put your sauce down in the pan, and you put a couple globs all over the pan. So when you go back to do your grid method to spread it out, it'll be pretty even. And when I say glumps, you take big glumps and you just go to town. And you do the grid method, like I said, spreading from left to right, up and down and left and right. And then you will do the next layer with the cheese. The same thing, take your spoon and you put big glumps all the way up and down the pan. So again, when you're spreading it, it's going to spread out evenly and coat everything. Then your next layer, you'll put down more noodles and repeat the process. So you'll go with the spaghetti sauce and then you'll go with the cheese. And then if you want three layers, that's great. I usually do three, but depending how thick you want this thing to be, you can do two or three layers. At the end, after you've done that top layer of cheese and you don't want any more layers, what I do is put more noodles all the way down. And then I coat the top with mozzarella itself all the way from one side to the other. I don't put the Parmesan by itself on until the very, very end, because I like a crispy top. I want that cheese to melt down and get all ooey gooey and a little brown. You cover it with foil and you will put it in the oven with the foil on for 35 to 40 minutes. And then once, you know, your timer goes off, you'll open the oven and take the foil off the top. And then I like to let it brown for about 15 minutes. At that point, you'll pull, when it's done, your timer goes off, everything's cooked, you'll pull it out and set it on a flat surface. You need to let it stand for about 5 to 10 minutes. And that's when I like to put the Parmesan on top before you serve it. And you can use the grid method also to cut squares. And the longer you let it rest and settle, and as it cools down, the better your lasagna will stand. Because if you cut it too quickly, it's gonna basically flop. You can put it in a bowl, still delicious, but it doesn't stand up very well.
Right.
And this is, it takes about maybe an hour and 15 minutes, depending how fast you get at putting those ingredients and things together. And I also recommend a throwaway lasagna pan, because the fight to get it clean is ridiculous.
Cleaning a lasagna pan is no fun.
Not at all. It's just as bad as like the turkey pan, you know, after Thanksgiving. So
yeah, same thing. Boom, in the garbage. Mm-hmm. Well, Shamara, what thoughts would you like to leave us with about blindness?
About blindness, my thoughts, my personal thoughts. You might be afraid or scared. And if you can face that fear and just get through it, usually it gets easier as you repeat. I used to be terrified to cross streets and go places with my vision. Now I ride buses. I do door-to-door service. I fly. I take trains. I take buses. I am all over. I travel more now as a visually impaired person than I did as a sighted person. So Things can be
scary. Great.
Yeah, things can be scary. It's going to happen. And if you can build up your confidence and, you know, just have a little bit of willpower,
you'll make it through.
You'll make it through. And it's so many doors open to you at that point. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Never, ever, ever be afraid to ask for help.
That's the main thing, isn't it? Just ask for help. That goes for everyone, doesn't it?
It does. Because I feel like, like I said, losing vision later on, I had to, it's almost like you have to retrain your family too, because sure. They're so busy trying to help you. And I had to be like, I love you and I appreciate it. And I know you're trying to help, but you need to let me do everything I can do. And when I come to an obstacle I feel like I can't do, I'm going to ask. So right. always try to be positive. And if you have a bad day, have the bad day. Have the bad day. Because if you don't, it's going to bottle up and come out in the weirdest times and places. So if you're having that bad day, a bad blind day is what I call them, go ahead and have it. But limit yourself to how much time you're allowed to be in this pity party.
Right, right, right. You don't want to get drunk on your pity party.
You don't. Like I said, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be mad. But just like for me, I'm allowed a 3-hour window depending on why I'm upset.
3-hour window.
So yeah, just try to stay positive. And there's a lot of resources and people who really do care.
Well, Shamara, how do people get a hold of you if they want to contact you?
My email, my work email is shamara.mccall@dbs.fldoe.org. The number here to the center is 386-258-4444. Very, very simple stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is the Florida Division of Blind Services Rehabilitation Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Yes, it is. We are not, we're the rehab center now. If you want to become like a DBS client, you have to, you can call us and we can connect you to your district. You have to let us know where you are and we'll find the nearest district and connect you to that district's not administrator, but their district office.
And the services there are free, is that correct?
They are, yes.
Well, Shamara, so, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh no, I was going to say, if you need mobility, you need help counseling, you want to go back to school, a variety of things, then yes, please, please let us know.
Well, Shamara, thank you so much. And as we like to say, thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
People can hear this podcast anywhere they get their podcast. And if they have an Alexa-enabled device, mm-hmm. they can hear it even better.
Awesome.
So we're at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. Thank you so much, Shamara. It was really very enjoyable.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
All right. Bye, everybody.